you know, again, I got all these gorgeous queens, and he graduated from Hofstra. Then my last son, oh, he went to Geneseo. He went a year to France, then he came back and went to Geneseo and majored in French literature. And anyway, he went there, and then he graduated from there and stayed there a year, knowing his band was going to make it. Of course, bands never make it. So then he went to Mexico or Guatemala and his career and all that. And then he decided he wanted to be an acupuncturist. So then he went 2 years to acupuncture school. He taught school down in Fort Lauderdale. He taught the Haitians. He had his own trailer. And he played the march at the graduation march. And he said, Mom, he said, I can't. Can't be a teacher, can't do that. So he had one child then. And then I said, we got all of these benefits. And he said, yeah. And he said, we have our children at home. And he had a second child. So off he goes, he marches to his own drummer. So then he went to acupuncture school for 2 years in Santa Fe. So he's an acupuncturist. Yes, they all got a lot of education, but I'm such a firm believer in education. But only education for yourself. Just, I don't care whether you're a girl or anything in those years. I just figure that, you know, they can't take education away from you. They said, get all the education you can. So I'm a firm believer. I don't know how I feel today with these new dorms that they're putting up with their own gyms and, you know, eating air. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's, but I like when you can live off campus, though, with your boyfriend. Go back to that again. It's a new world. Back to my last son, when we were saying that. You know, he had a child before he was married. And then he got married. But by his generation, everything had changed. And today, it's even better. I mean, you don't, like, I have a granddaughter that's married, and their child is 3, and she has no intentions of marrying the father, but they have their own apartment. But, you know, why do you, you know, today you don't have to get married. I've read the statistics, you know, this is common. You know, she's in her 20s, 24. She doesn't want to get married, she said. I don't want to get married. So you don't have to get married anymore, which is good, because then you don't have to get a divorce. Divorces are messy.
So, how did you and your husband handle your children when they started dating?
I think fathers are very protective of who daughters, you know, in dating. But I don't think you're that protective of your boys when they're dating. Now, I can honestly say I've never yelled at my children, and I've never hit a child. I might have when they were 2 or 3, slapped their hand if they're going to run in the road or something, but I've never spanked or hit any of my 6 children. And when they were teenagers and say they came home drunk, I waited till morning because I'm smart enough that you don't talk to them, you know. There's no percentage in talking to him at that time. So, yeah, we'd have 6 cars on the road in the summer. They'd have to have a car to get to their work, and then we called them summer rats, and we'd get rid of them in the fall. So they all, you know, chose to work. Or today, the kids don't seem to have the part-time jobs. Our kids had part-time jobs in high school, which all of them did, by choice. And, you know, they worked at Carol's, one that worked at Hartwick. One was, worked at the state parks as a lifeguard. So, I mean, they all worked every summer and worked. Even when we all went to camp for the summer, the teenage years, they work painting picket fence. I mean, they all worked. So, then they worked when they were in college. Was pretty common. I worked when I was in college. I chose where I worked, though. I worked at the what they call the corner store at Syracuse University, because below the corner store is where all the athletes lived. This way I thought I'd get to meet. So, and I did. So I met my husband working in the corner store. No, he was very poor. His mother and father were divorced, and they were, I remember saying, I was looking at the roster, one of the kids' sports, I said, jeepers, look how many of these parents are divorced. I said, that's a shame. And he said, nobody felt sorry for me, because his parents, and only in New York State, you could only get a divorce by adultery. The only way you could get a divorce. So his parents were the only parents, they were the only kids in school with parents that were divorced. They went to what they call Valley Academy in Syracuse. So it was, you know, he'd live with the father, then they'd run away and live with the mother. I don't know much about his childhood because he very seldom ever talked about it. And so he really was the only child in his family that ever went on to education. And he joined the Marines for 2 years because he could only had to go for 2 years and he'd get 4 years education. So he graduated from Syracuse University. He started at St. Bonnie's. And as I say, we were married. He had 2 years of school left when we got married. So he had a much different life than I did. He had the wicked stepmother, the, you know, that you read about. That's why they kept running away, and his father was a policeman. He never had any time for him. So he had no relationship with his father. But he ran into a lot of things, like he got the football award and walked to his father first, and his mother was mad. I say it's very difficult, especially when you're the only kid in school. So it's just he and his brother. His brother went into service at 16. And had had a much different outcome than my husband.
Would you say a lot of boys at that time were joining the service?
Oh, well, he went in right after the war, so he didn't actually fight because World War II was pretty much over when he went in. Because we graduated from high school in 1946. And he went in 1946, and you figure that 1947 is when the war ended with Japan. And, of course, the other war, I think, ended a little sooner. So he didn't get any, any fighting or anything. And then he, being poor, he joined the what do you join when you come out? Anyway, when you come out of the service, you can still be part of the service. I forget what they call it. So he got called back in the Korean War, and he'd been a football player at St. Bonnie's in high school and what have you. So he had a bad knee, and fortunately he got out. The only thing bothered me is the Marines never paid him for the 3 weeks that he was in the service, 6 weeks he was in the service. And then he came back, and if you can imagine, it was at St. Bonnie's. He's not Catholic, but the professors there, Franciscan, caught him up on every course so that he didn't lose that semester that he went in the Marine, you know, went back in his service. Can you imagine them doing it at a school today? Each Franciscan teacher caught him up on his French and his history and everything. Caught him up for those 6 weeks, so they never lost a semester of college.
Did they do that for every student, or?
I don't know. I say it was St. Bonaventure's, a different world. I can't imagine them doing it at many schools. And they wanted him to catch up, and he came back, and they, you know, tutored him and gave him everything he needed, so he finished the semester. Unreal.
Did you know him at this point?
Did they, St. Bonnie's?
Yeah.
He went there 2 years. So, And he, as I say, he wasn't Catholic. This was their Protestant boy. He didn't go to church. You know, he wasn't Catholic. He went to St. Bonaventure to play football. So, I always thought that was so interesting that they'd do that. And then I said to him, you know, he could use that money. And he says, yes, but I'm not ever allowed to see my name again. They can keep their money. So he never got paid. So he had a much harder life because he had to pay for everything and do everything for his whole life. He had a very mixed up childhood, I guess. But at the same time, he was the most handsome, the most popular. He was a very outgoing guy. And he graduated in January, then he PG'd, and he graduated again in June. So he could play football, or play whatever spring sport, I guess you'd play. Lacrosse, I think he played. But anyway, he had an entirely different childhood. Yes, I say. I know all about the wicked stepmother. She was a terrible lady. If my husband was smart, his brother was not as smart or didn't care. So she'd go lock him in the bedroom so he'd stay there to study. So then he'd go out the window and run away to his, you know, to their mothers. And then Bobby'd go find out he'd gone, so he'd go out too. So it was very, and then the father would get him back. And they'd be forced to live with his stepmother again. So it was kind of hard. And his mother worked in a laundry. She didn't have any money. So the lady that worked there with her, they got an apartment. So the kids could live, the two of them together could pay for the apartment, and then the kids would come and live with her for a while, and then they, so they, you know, he'd probably have a better story. But he was a fun-loving, wonderful person. So, I think today, marriages, I think they break them up too fast. I think that in our generation, like I always said, Bob, if you leave me, you take all six kids. You know, so I get the freedom. I'm not going to be the mother that takes all the kids. I'm going to visit them. But I mean, I'm only kidding. But I say it's just, you know, so different, because they decide to get a divorce, they go get a divorce. Or then they marry somebody that's almost like the person they just divorced. Has the same trait, sometimes they even almost look like them. But I think if they just gave it another longer time, there wouldn't be so many divorces. But in our generation, I don't think anybody could go through life and not wish they were single. I mean, I know some of my friends deny that, but I think it's, you know, to me, you couldn't be times that you wish that you weren't married, but, you know, you just don't go get a divorce because, you know, you still love them and life is good. But I don't know what you do with abuse of... I was with a lady yesterday who's been married four times. And her, you know, father's abused her. And I'm thinking, you seem like such a nice lady. Your life is such a mess. And her sister's child is bipolar and is in Las Vegas. And her sister doesn't have enough money to send for her to come back. And so, I mean, there's so much out there that would happen to, you know. Your four husbands, that'd be a pretty good story. Do you have kids, some of his and some are mine? No. But I think of mine as being very normal, but you never know. I'm very laid back, as you probably can tell. I, you know, have very, very good relations with all my children and their spouses, which is a plus. So, as long as you decide never to fight with anybody, you know, if they can't make it Thanksgiving, we'll make it the next Thursday. But my son's wife, you know, she came here one Thanksgiving and her brother was supposed to go to her mother's, and her mother calls up crying because the brother got mad at her. They're divorced. Everybody's parents are divorced. And my kid married. My later kid's married. Not my older kids. But my later kid's married. You know, they have to get to three holidays. If they go home, they got to get to three families for Thanksgiving, three families for Christmas. And so I always thought it was good that we stayed married because we only had to go to one then. But I say that those generations now, divorce doesn't mean much. You get divorced and then you get remarried. And nothing wrong with that, just that it's a different concept. You can let me know in a few years what happened to you.
So you mentioned World War II. You were in high school, I guess, then?
Yeah, I graduated in 1946, and the war started in, what, 1941? Pearl Harbor was 1941.
So what was it like growing up?
Well, it was like when I started to college, all the veterans were coming back, and all the schools let them in whether they belonged in or not. So you'd have a citizenship class with hundreds of students. You'd be in, you'd go into a like an auditorium, and the person would speak, and then they'd have, you'd go off into groups, and you know, they would have a graduate student. So it was very different going to college in my first couple of years because of the veterans all coming back, and there were so many of them. And then one of them came back to high school. I thought he was the only kid in high school with a car. Of course, he was older than everybody else in high school. And so some kids had to come back from the service and finish high school. And so it was different. And my sister is 2 years older than I was. So she dated a lot of servicemen, and they come and they stay at our house. And, you know, so she had. But the time I graduated, you know, as I say, the servicemen were pretty much out, you know, going back to school and what have you.
Do you remember any rationing or special war efforts?
I remember we used to have war bonds. So I know when I started working, you always put so much money that they took out to buy war bonds. And as I said, I lived at home when I worked at Internal Revenue, and I'd take that. My father said that, you know, to take out, I think, a war bond a week and, you know, give it to him, you know, for the, for staying there, I guess, which was good. And I got married, he gave me them all, which was nice. He never planned on keeping them anyway. I think it was just having you feel, you know, that you were contributing. So then he gave them all to me when I got married, which was nice. But those were war bonds. And what else? No, I didn't volunteer. I didn't do any volunteer for the war effort. Never occurred to me. I think I was more interested in those times in my life and my dating and my, you know. I think sometimes until you, like, graduate from college, your life is you. I mean, you're not thinking of anybody but yourself. That's when sometimes you don't realize it, but your life is more important than anything else. When my sister got married, I was the maid of honor. She got married right after, day after Christmas. And I couldn't wait for the reception to get over, which wasn't until about, you know, slowing down about 2 or 3, so I could get skiing for an hour or two. You know, that was my goal. I didn't care about after the thing. And I know that when she had her first child, it was in January, which was winter. And I never got up to the hospital to see her. It didn't occur to me. And we were very close. She's only 2 years. I mean, I saw the baby came home then, you know. But, I mean, it didn't occur to me to say, you know, I'll sit with your child or, you know. I think that's true of most. I don't think. My son at Geneseo, he was, my husband, when you say about teenagers, his big thing was, is the car okay? You know, I mean, it was, you know, you just, what, you wouldn't go to sleep until, you know, all the cars were home. And I'm a late night person anyway, so I was always up when the kids came home. I'd be up watching television or reading. Until to this day, I don't go to bed till about 1 o'clock at night. And so I'm a real night person. So, you know, I'd always be there when they got home. But I think, you know, I remember he was at Geneseo and he called and he said, I got good news and bad news. The good news is the car is fine, but he was never in the car. He'd, you know, fallen, had a concussion, you know, what have you. But I mean, everything, you know, we had a flood at camp. My daughter was working up in Watertown, but she was staying at the camp. And I said, where's the car? She said, here. She said, I trudged through all this water to get to the camp. So, I mean, he was always very concerned. He used to make jokes of. But I think that's a hard thing when you have teenagers and driving. I think that's still today. That's a hard concept for parents. Because you worry so about them having an accident, you know, when they go out. Not so much in daytime. But.
How did you keep track of them then? Because today we have cell phones, but...
I'm so glad we didn't have cell phones. I don't think it's fair. If I were a child, I would just dismantle my phone when I went out for the night. Seriously, I don't think parents... I think it's terrible. You knew when you got a phone call something serious was going on? You know, uh-oh. You know, why are they calling? I don't know. I don't think you need to keep that... you know, none of my kids turned out to be drug addicts or, I mean, it just, I don't think you need that. I think they need the freedom. And you find out interesting things they did at the dinner table, like driving to Florida in one day and coming back the same day, you know. I don't know. I think basically your kids are good. They don't want to. I don't know. Fortunately, I didn't have any problem with any of them. As I say, it's just kind of a calm, easy existence. But if you choose not to fight with them, I guess it's, you know, and explain to them that maybe they shouldn't do what they did or something. The next day, if you tried to explain to them at that time, I'm sure it's wrong. But I mean, it's, most kids turn out okay, even if they have wildness in their childhood. They all seem to turn out okay. They join the world normally and have their kids and their families. My kids are very laid back too. I don't think I've heard any of my kids yell. My daughter, they yell at their kids.
So did you spend a lot of time together as families? Did you get to go on vacations, for example?
Oh, yeah. We went, we'd go to Florida, Easter vacation, and our friends would fly down with their two or three kids. And we'd ride down a lot of times in two cars when the kids got older. So the eight of us would go down in two cars. And then we'd stay at a place called East Wind for 2 weeks, and then we'd go over to Disney World and do a lot of things. So, yeah. And we were going down with our friends, and they were renting, we were going to rent this one corner place in the motel near the beach. And it was all planned, and then when she found out that we had six kids, she told us, you know, Frank Evan, that, you know, she didn't want us. She didn't want anybody with that many kids. So then we found this place at East Wind, and it was really very nice. And some family that lived there asked if we'd rent from them next year. They didn't care that. But, you know, not, our kids were never screamers, and they, you know, were not abusive to the environment or the things.
So it wasn't a hotel that you stayed at?
It's a great big condominium. It was great big condos. They were renting them because it was just being built, and they were renting them hoping you'd buy one. Because my sister was very wealthy, and she lived in Fayetteville and had all these wealthy friends, and all these friends were going down to this place called Eastland right near Daytona Beach. And so when they didn't want us at the other one, she said, well, why don't you just go? And so we did. And then they banned some families from coming because the kids gummed up the elevators and everything. But we didn't know, our kids didn't know there. A lot of those people did buy their condo, but we rented there for maybe 4 years.
You mentioned that your oldest son skis. Did you ever go skiing as a family?
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I had my husband buy after we got married. As I say, skiing was going to be my whole life. And so we started our kids skiing right here in Oneonta. And then we'd go on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And then we joined, they were very young, and then we joined Scotch Valley as members. So, yes, we skied that. In fact, as I say, my son is going to be, I thought he's going to be a professional skier. That's why he's going to Colorado. And my daughter's son, she's an avid skier, too. And my daughter's son is at Mammoth Mountain in California. He was at Whiteface, and he was a paid ski patrol. Now he's gone to Mammoth out in California. That's his life. He's now 29. And he does what every skier does. He carpenters and does those kind of jobs in the off year. And then, so he's really a professional skier. So yes, yeah, skiing. All my kids are avid, very good skier. They can't afford it today. I mean, the ones that are married on Long Island. She said, if you decide to take skiing, you got to rent all the equipment, and if you don't, it was just too expensive. So, and my daughter, her kids, she lives near, they have membership of Song Mountain. She lives 10 minutes from there, so her kids, got to ski, but it's very expensive. I think in relation to money, that it was expensive when we skied. It's always been expensive for it. Sport. It's never been a poor man's sport. How many black people do you see on a hill? a tad racial. I don't mean that. I don't mean that derogatory. But it's still a rich man's. Or you gotta have money to ski today. It's $100 to ski at Whiteface. That's without renting your equipment. If you're a skier, you go up to Whiteface for the day. $100. Where he is at Mammoth, you go there for the day. $100. So you got to have $100, and if you don't have the ski equipment, now you got to rent it. It's a pretty expensive day, but it's still a great sport.
How did you first get into skiing?
Well, it's interesting. The girl that lived a couple of houses away from me was my closest friend, and she was younger than I was by about a year and a half. But she's one of these outstanding people that she was president of her class at Middlebury, and she went to Pierre S. DuPont, her father worked for DuPont, and was the first girl president of Pierre S. DuPont High School. So she was very outstanding. Her father and mother, her father was a salesman, and they were just as outgoing, and she was just an exceptional person. So she could do everything better than I could. We went to my only week of camp, Campfire Girl Camp. Only time I ever went away. I never went away again by choice. It was awful. And like she was a whale and I was a dolphin. I mean, I could never beat her at anything. And so we learned how to play bridge, and then we played backgammon with her parents. So anyway, she asked me to go skiing. So I had my father buy me some skis and drive me to the end of our street. After I left there, like after dinner, And then I practiced on this hill that was at the